Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's get ready to rumble!
He's the fastest man on the planet. He'd have got there, rabbits.
Beers, beers and more beers. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the sucker. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
Yes, yes. What a week that was. A week that, look, I'm pretty happy to forget about it. We'll move on. Injuries, suspensions, poor scores, shit selections, you name it. This week was the week for it. We finished off with 1,067, which is nowhere near good enough. Plenty of crap selections, which we'll touch over now. I mean, I rolled the dice and played Bailey Simonson over someone like a Dane Laurie. Needed him for a head-to-head matchup. We played Spencer Lenu, and then just a couple of guys that just plodded along in the mid-40s. Siasiwa Takiaho, 23. Dave Fifita as captain wasn't fantastic. I mean, the shining light was probably Mitch Barnett with 107, Pappy with some 80s, Luai, the new recruit, with 81, Cleary with 125. But apart from that, it was just a lot of plodding. Yeah, look, I'm going to expect a pretty hefty red arrow in the rankings, especially when a lot of the guys that I'm in and around scored well over 1,100 and into the 12. So, yeah, look, not a great week for me this week, but I'm sure you guys are in the same boat. It was one of these weeks where we'll ride it off, we'll move forward, but expect some red arrows. Look, the first game of the week was the Broncos against the Panthers, and the Broncos were really up for this one, weren't they? It was a 12-20 scoreline, but that Nathan Cleary try at the end of it really sort of inflated that 8-point margin. It was 12-all for a large majority of the time. Cleary obviously kicked that 2-point field goal. He was the standout of this match with 125. Look, a lot of people asked me if he was a viable loop option, and normally I'd say no. 130 is normally my cutoff for looping, but yeah, look, I mean, he was probably the best option this week, so if you straight seed him, well done. If you decided to go and VC loop him, obviously well done as well. You probably would have copped Sam Walker's poor score or Bailey Simonson, depending if you owned both of those. Kurt Capewell, 82 with a try. Look, I know that 82 looks great, and if he keeps scoring tries, he's going to be a great purchase, but, I mean, it's another game of 50-odd with it without the try for Capewell, so another game inflated by tries, but like I said, if you're on that right edge and Cleary's going to keep feeding him, then we have to keep respecting these scores. Jerome Luai with an 81, he was very quiet apart from that try assist at the end of the game. If you're an owner of Luai or a captainer, it was a tough watch until that last 5 minutes, which really helped him. Matt Burton in the centers continues to do a shift, and if Momorowski is suspended for any length of time, you'd expect he would hold the spot, and if you've held him in Supercoach and he's been a great pickup for you, made a bit of cash. Isaiah Yeo with a 66, Brian Toto doing Brian Toto things, 64, no try, rounds out probably the scores for the Panthers. As for the Broncos, you would expect it's topped by one man, that's Payne Haas with a 64. Not his damaging scores that we're used to, so not too sure if he is a season-long prospect we are looking at. Ethan Bullimore with a 64 with a try and a line break. One man that I wanted to touch on is Matt Lodge, who got a 62. I think if you own TKO or Tino for Asul Malawi and you're looking to downgrade either of those two, I think Lodge is a fantastic pickup for the price. I don't expect him to be much more than 320-330k after the price rise. He obviously had that very low score in his first game thanks to that hamstring injury, so I think he's going to be a pretty solid pickup for you guys. Had him at the start of the year. We raved about him as well, so it's good to see that he's come back from the injury and performing well. Brody Croft with a 62. Tevita Pengai Jr. only got a 61. Now, I say only got a 61 because if you watch that game, he was in everything. He was just doing a lot. He also scored a try, which didn't have a line break attached to it, so that affects it a little bit. But if you watch that game and didn't look at scores, you would expect Tevita Pengai Jr. to have a monstrous score, but it's a bit of the Gutho syndrome in the fact that he didn't really correlate to Supercoach scores. Pat Carrigan with a 56 sort of rounds it out for the Broncos. The next game was one that I was very, very vocal about on social media. I thought this was a very, very poorly refereed game. I've never wanted to really bag referees because I think they do a fantastic job, but there was just bad calls left, right, and center here. It's obviously the Knights versus the Sharks. The Knights winning this one 26-22, and the star of the show was Kalyn Ponga with an upset stomach, rattled off 161. KP looked back to his best. We tweeted about this last week, about that Mitch Barnett and Kalyn Ponga combination, and they combined for a very solid 268 points this week. Obviously, Barnett, with that, with a lot of those attacking stats this week, got 107. Frizzell with the try at the end got 112, but he had a fantastic game without the try. Kurt Mann with an 86. Brody Jones, I think, was probably the best on ground. He played a game where he's just gone criminally unnoticed. Two huge try-saving efforts there from a forward who was stuck in the centre, so I think he did a fantastic job with a 77. Connor Watson had 40 at halftime, and I thought he was in for a fantastic score, but didn't play huge minutes in the second half, but still rattled off a 62. Daniel Saifidi with a 60, and Jake Braley with a 57. As for the Sharks, Connor Tracy, the man that I'd never thought should have lost the spot last week when he did, but he was back, 114. Britton Nakora with a try, getting 100. Jesse Ramien with an 88. I think Ramien is a very, very good option to look at. When Sean Johnson comes back, we know how electric he can be, and I think if you're looking for a pod X-Factor center wing, I think Ramien definitely could be the man to look at. Our fan favorite, the Chad, with the 77. Townsend just keeps putting out performances. I think the boat has well and truly set sail for the Chad Townsend ship, but if you got on him before the start of the preseason or even early on, you're definitely rewarded with a good price rise and some really good scores from the Chad. Harotti with a 68, Kennedy with a 64, Teague Wilton with a 59 is the rest of the Sharks lineup. The next game was the Storm versus the Roosters, and this was the battle of the fullbacks with Ryan Papenhuyzen taking the chockies. But look, Jerome Hughes top score with 102 with that try, that obviously helps. But the one man that I think everyone's going to touch on here is Harry Grant. When he gets back to full match fitness, I think he's going to be the best hooker of the year. He had 98 in about 50 minutes or something ridiculous. He looked phenomenal. He is the best hooker in the game by far. I think if we were picking an Australian side tomorrow, I'm taking Grant over Cook every day of the week. Unfortunate for Reid Marnie that he's probably not going to get a sniff for a starting Origin spot because of Grant, but he was just crucial to this Storm side. He was very electric with the ball when he got it out of dummy half, really got them on the front foot. His counterpart, Brendan Smith, also had a great game with an 86, as we touched on Pappy with the 80. That was a tough watch, especially after that first sort of 5 minutes when Josh Morris crashed over for that try. It was disallowed, but Papenhuyzen copped a nasty head blow, and I thought he may have done something to his shoulder, but look, everything looks to be okay. He was playing through the pain. The NRL physio has reported that he could go through this without missing any game time, so fingers crossed he does. Otherwise, I'm not too sure what we're going to do. We've obviously got another fullback who tore it up this week that we'll touch on coming soon, but yeah, interesting times for Ryan Papenhuyzen and what his stocks are in Supercoach. Another man that I think his time might be coming to an end, Christian Welch. If you've held him for this long, you've rewarded with some fantastic scores. But with Dale Finucane coming back, I'm not too sure what his minutes are going to look like. Definitely worth holding a week and seeing, but after that, we could potentially look at selling him. Cam Munster with just another solid game with a 67. Just one of these players that continues just to pump out scores on a quiet night. I think Cam Munster owners are just waiting for the day that he explodes, and you can really capitalize off the back of that. As for the Roosters, top scorer here was Matt Ikavalu. I mean, it's going to be hard for a huge score to be outplayed when the Roosters only put up 4 points. So he was a top scorer. Lindsay Collins with a 58. Angus Crichton only with a 50. He's had a couple of poor scores. Some people have asked about selling him. I think if you're selling Crichton, you've obviously got no issues in your side at all, especially with last week's Teamless Tuesday, this week's suspensions and injuries. But yeah, look, I think it's rough times for these guns in the Roosters. Then it's not firing with out the halves, and one man that isn't firing definitely is James Tedesco. Scored 40, but that was boosted by a try assist at the end of the game, so it could have been poor for Tedesco. I mean, thankfully Mitchell didn't fire this week, but you've obviously got Ponga and Tom Trbojevic back on the scene, so I've always maintained I still think the ship has sailed to sell Teddy. If you were going to do it, you were going to do it 3 weeks ago. I mean, it was priced sky high, and Luke Keary had just got injured. Apart from that, I think you have to hold. His draw opens up phenomenally. The Knights draw isn't fantastic. I mean, are you going to put your season on the line for Tommy Turbo with that hamstring issue? I wouldn't be so sure. So for me, Tedesco's a hold, even a sneaky captain option for me next week. I haven't captained him for about 245 days. I had a look back last time I captained him. So a long time without the armband for him. He might see it this week. Who knows? As we touched on, CRC with Takiaho with a 23. Unfortunately, he picked up that rib injury. It's going to see him out for about 3 weeks from all reports. So definitely a sell there. And yeah, unfortunately for Sam Walker owners, people that played him, you copped a 21. This is the reality of Sam Walker if he doesn't get these attacking stats. His base isn't phenomenal. Last week, he was on -4 without the try assist. So you ride the highs and the lows of Sam Walker. He's still going to make cash. He's still going to be a great option. But as for reserving him, I think you've got to do it against those favorable matchups. But I expect the Roosters to fire back sooner or later. They're going to get troops back through the door. Sam Verrills isn't too far away. Victor Radley's coming back into match fitness. So when I think the Roosters pick up form, then these guys will definitely fire for your Supercoach teams. It's just a matter of when, not if. The Seagulls with the absolute shutout. Look, I did put a little wager before the game on Manly to win, and then didn't expect them to come out and fire as good as they did. I mean, the King of Brookvale, Tom Dvojevic, was back in full force, 116. I guess this is the reality of Turbo, though. He was at 100 at halftime, but there was no need for him to do too much more. Ruben Garrick with 113. Josh Schuster with 93. So anyone that picked up Schuster and plays him week in, week out is being rewarded. A cheapie that I missed on. If I had my time over again, I'd definitely go and pick him up and play him. Now he's going to get definite game time. Jake Travoy, which with a 59. Jerbo's just sort of pumping out these mid-50s, 60s week in, week out. So yeah, I mean, that's not the Jerbo of old, but he's probably never an option moving forward anyway. As for the Titans, David Fifita with a 78, top scored. I'm surprised he got a 78, to be honest, because watching the game, he didn't do a whole lot. A couple of unicorn points with some tackle busts obviously came through. Corey Thompson with a 52. Back to earth a little bit. Moe Fodawaker with a 44. Mitch Rain with a 43. Tino Fa'asuamalawi with a 41. And, of course, after I talked him up so highly after his 90-odd the other week, he's just gone downhill ever since. I keep saying week in, week out, we're waiting for this X Factor to come with Tino, and it's going to be coming. He can't go a whole season without a try, but I don't know, he just looks to not be effective with the ball. He's still getting a fair few hit-ups, but not doing enough with it to really warrant all the hype that I guess I put on him as well in the start of the year. Preseason, I was off him, but was talked into him and was loving life until the last 2 weeks. So look, I think Tino's a hold. People are going to have other issues in their side. If you've got no issues, then yeah, dump him. But I think people are going to be filling holes. If you've held Tessie New, if you held a Jordan Ricci, if you have a Takiaho, if you've held a Little, for example, you've got other issues to fix up there. Next is the game of the round. The Rabbitohs taking on the Tigers. As a Tigers fan, this was hard to watch. I mean, I didn't give us a chance in hell. I benched Dane Laurie for this exact reason. But yeah, look, he scored a 62 for the Tigers. Nofaluma with a 69. I think Nofaluma is a very, very good option moving forward. All preseason, I said he was a trap just because of the price he was at. But with the Tigers draw, they played the first buy round. He's probably going to bottom out in price, so he's definitely someone to look at for the first bye week. One man, if you didn't jump on early, definitely be looking at him again. Jake Simkin with a 62. Look, he was very good in his debut. I think people are maybe overstating it a little bit. There was a few defensive misreads that led to a try and a couple of missed tackles, but for killing his very first game, you'll take a 62 at 173k. Dane Laurie, we've touched on. Adam Dewey, another one of these sneaky pod options I'm really starting to come around to with Adam Dewey. Same with Nofaluma. They have great draw. They play the first bye week. Dewey loves a run. He's just a poor man's Jack Whiten. So if you want to go against the grain with the 5'8s, definitely don't hate Adam Dewey. As for the Rabbitohs, Cam Murray top scored. Tom Burgess broke my heart with a 76. Damien Cook with a 73. Dan Gagai, thankfully, grabbed a try to boost his numbers. He got a 57, but yeah, that Gagai isn't kicking on as well as I wanted him to. Cody Walker owners, if you captained him, you were left a little bit in the dark with a 53, as for Latrell Mitchell with a 47. I think Latrell's going to be looking at a bit of a stint on the sideline too, so you could definitely look at cashing Latrell out into someone like a Turbo. Don't hate that move at all. As for the next game, it was the Raiders and the Eels. The Eels get the job done here pretty convincingly, 35-10. For the Raiders, the top scorer was Jordan Rupner. Obviously, he just continues to bag tries for fun. Josh Hodgson with a 76. If he is going to continue to play decent minutes, can definitely get around maybe looking at picking him up as your secondary hooker if you have a Jaden Brelly, for example, if you're not going to go down the gun route. Ryan Sutton with a 61. Josh Papali'i with a 61. Hudson Young with a 61. Yeah, just a lot of consistent scores here for the Raiders. It's going to be interesting to see what Ricky Stewart does with Ryan James, whether his time in the sun for Supercoaches is done. But yeah, look, another dud is falling into the Jason Saab category. He is Bailey Simonson, at 12 points. I mean, yeah, I played him this week thinking he'd bag a try, but looks like there's no ball going down there. He's going to be another one of these guys. We're probably just going to hold and hope that we can get a small price rise out of him. It's just not great for Simonson owners. He's just not doing enough to warrant being in your full squad, let alone your 17. As for the Eels, Isaiah Papali'i continues to absolutely crush it week in, week out. With Ryan Madison continually being benched, he's continually starting. Two tries this week for 119. Reid Marnie, probably the best hooker option this year, just in sheer points alone, 104. Clint Gutherson with a 97. Mitch Moses with an 88. I guess these are two scores that people have been really waiting for. No Dylan Brown this week, so the ball playing responsibilities fell on them a little bit more. Sean Lane with a 73. Mike Acevo with a 60. Sort of rounds it out for the Eels. The first game on Sunday saw the Dragons take on the Warriors, where the Warriors got the W. Cody Nikorima top scored at this game with a 99. Tohu Harris with a 95. RTS with a 95. Another one of these fullbacks that's really putting in a shift week in, week out. There could be a decent option to look at. Josh Curran starting gets a 69. Wade Egan with a 58. As for the Dragons, Mikaeli Ravalava with a 68, Zach Lomax with a 58, Matt Dufty with a 57, new recruit Josh Maguire with a 56, and Andrew McCulloch with a 53. Not much to talk about from this game, really. I think the try to Tohu helps him. RTS just keeps putting out attacking stats. Cody Nikorima keeps putting out attacking stats. So probably guys that people didn't look at in the preseason, but look, I don't know if they're worth looking at moving forward. If the fullback stocks aren't as great as what we first thought, then RTS definitely is a lookout. I think Tohu Harris needs to be in every side for the run home. As for Nikorima, it's very much a pod shout to pick him up. And the last game of the round, I'll be honest, I didn't watch this one. This game didn't excite me at all, but looking at the scorelines and watching the highlights back, wasn't too bad of a game in the second half. The first half dragged a little bit by the looks of it, but it was the Cowboys defeating the Bulldogs 30-18. Mitch Dunn top scoring with 81, scored a try at the end of the game, which really boosts him. Valentine Holmes, 76, another one of these guys that is probably a sneaky chance to be in your center wings as one of the best four. Ben Condon with a try with a 72. Of course, after I slate him all week, he bags a meaty back-to-back weeks to really help him get a price rise. Reese Robson with a 68, Jake Granville with a 59. I guess the talk here was Jason Tamalolo doing his hand, the opposite hand of what he had already injured. So, look, rough times for Lolo. It's going to open up other opportunities for some more Cowboys. So, for Supercoach, that's going to be fine. As for Cowboys fans, it's a rough watch with no Tamalolo. As for the Bulldogs, Renov Atoni with an 83 was the top scorer, boosted by that try, which obviously helped. Luke Thompson continues to really be that focal point of the Bulldogs forward pack with a 59, no try this week, but still a respectable score. Kyle Flanagan with a 57 with a try, which I guess is not great when you look at it. Adam Elliott with a 55 continues to pump out decent base scores. I think Jack Hetherington is the big talking point out of this game, with just being straight sent. So that's interesting. It's been a while since someone's been straight sent off. No sin bin, no nothing. But yeah, I think he is probably one of the dud signings of the year in terms of Supercoach. Obviously, there was a bit of hype coming around him from myself, from a couple of other people as well for the price and a starting front row forward, but just hasn't delivered. 27 from him being sent off doesn't help that either. But that's going to wrap it up for this week for the round 6 review. Look, normally I wouldn't be too upset with a poor round moving forward, but it's the fact that I've got so many issues coming out of it now. I mean, just looking at my side, I've got Takiyaho that's going to be out. I've got Tina that's going to be out. I've got Jacob Little that's still on the bench. Tessie New still on the bench. So there is four automatic options I need to move out of with only two trades. Who knows what's going to happen with Pappenhausen, whether he's going to miss any game time. So it's headache city galore. We need to rebuild. This is why I guess there is a little bit of luck involved in the game. We can look at stats all we want, but if a player just gets injured, gets sent off, gets on report, suspended, whatever, or just doesn't perform, then definitely it's hard. But yeah, I mean, looking at the team, there's at least four trades I need to make within the next couple of weeks. I need to start getting prepared for Origin. That's something you guys need to be aware of too. It's going to creep up on us pretty soon, but look, no point complaining. We'll come back tomorrow for Teamless Tuesday. We'll get stuck into it and we'll see how more coaches ruin my side and yours. So, but for now, keep your friends close and keep your pods closer.
That's all, folks.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.